This is continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Please raise your right hand and sworn.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Not that the truth. Yes. You speak loudly and clearly so you can hear. Do you medic Zane?
Hi, what is your name?
Hi, my name's June. I'm Chinda.
Will you spell that, please?
The first name is J-U-N-E, and the last name is U-M-C-H-I-N-D-A.
Where do you live, ma'am?
I live in Boca Raton, Florida.
Do you know Donna Adelson, the defendant in this case?
I do, yes.
How do you know her?
I was Charlie Adelson, her son's ex-girlfriend at one point.
Okay, when did you date Charlie Adelson?
I dated him in 2015 to 2017. I met him after the murder.
Okay. Do you recall what month in 2015 you began dating?
It was October.
Mm-hmm. And then broke up in what month of 17?
In June.
Okay. Can you describe for the jury what the beginning of your relationship with Mr. Adelson was like?
Well, in the beginning, he was not, him and his family were not being investigated by anything. So it was just a normal relationship. We had, everything was great.
Did you describe it as a fairy tale?
I did.
Had you met his mother?
I have.
How many times did you meet his mom?
Not more than 5 or 6, I would say.
And when you met her, was that at family events or what type of events?
Some family events and some weekends or dinners or just get-togethers.
Did you notice during the time you spent around Donna Adelson that she was very involved with her grandchildren?
I did notice, yes.
How close was she to Charlie Adelson?
They were very close.
They worked together?
At times, Charlie worked at many offices, so when he was at his office, yes.
Okay, because there was a family business as well that he was a part of, right?
Yes.
And Donna Adelson worked at that business?
I believe so, at times.
Okay, and did they speak on the phone daily?
Yes.
Did it seem like Donna Adelson was in control of the family?
In control, like, can you describe?
Like the matriarch of the family. She was the one that everyone looked to be in charge.
She played a motherly role, yes, in the family.
Did you meet Mindy Adelson?
I have.
And what about her children? Did you meet them?
I have, yes.
Were you and Charlie Adelson living together during the time that you were dating?
Not officially. I had my own place, but I had a key to his place, and we were together 24/7 since we met, so.
So basically living together.
Yes.
During what you've described or previously described as the fairy tale phase of your relationship with Mr. Adelson, was he suffering from any anxiety issues?
In the beginning?
Yes.
Just stress from work, the normal day-to-day.
Okay. Did he come across as angry during that time, the fairy tale phase?
No.
Okay. During that portion of your relationship, what did you know, if anything, about the murder of Dan Markell?
I had no idea who Dan Markell was. I've never seen the case in the media. I just know that when I asked Charlie about his family, he advised me that his brother-in-law was murdered and shot in the head in the garage, and they don't know who did it. So that's all I knew. It was pretty short.
Was that a topic that came up one time or more than one time?
It was one time when I asked him about his family in the beginning when we were dating, getting to know each other. And then obviously throughout our relationship, it became a bigger topic.
Okay, but during the fairy tale phase, was it a topic that would come up regularly, like what's going on with the investigation and wonder who did it, that sort of thing?
So the fairy tale phase, that was before the investigation, before they suspected him or his family. So no, it did not come up, just that one time.
Okay, and did you previously say, did you have a law enforcement interview in this case?
I did not know I was being recorded, but yes.
It was recorded.
I was, yes.
You had a chance to review it?
Many times, yes.
And in that interview, did you say for court and counsel, page 50, lines 19 through 23, quote, like they weren't ever curious, like who really killed him. They weren't upset about it, it seemed like. Did you say that?
If it's there, yes, I said that.
All right, and then there was a time, which, are you familiar with the bump in which law enforcement approached Dana Anderson posing as a gang member or a criminal?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And in that, after that bump, did everything sort of change in your relationship with Charlie Adelson?
During and after, absolutely.
Okay. And that law enforcement operation that I'm referencing occurred April 19th of 2016. Is that something that he reported to you? Were you aware that that happened with his mom?
No, definitely not.
He didn't say
not
anything?
Not during the time.
Okay. When did you learn about that?
I might have even learned about it from 2020 or something when we watched it, or he told me later on.
Okay.
After the fact.
So although you were inseparable at the time it happened, he didn't mention it to you?
No.
In what ways did Charlie Adelson's behavior begin to change around that time?
Around that time, I noticed he wasn't sleeping. He was up in the middle of the night. He was very extra stressed and anxious, worried, depressed. Overall, he became depressed over time.
Right, and at some point, I guess you learned through the media that Charlie was under investigation for potentially having a role in the murder of Dan Markell. Is that right?
I learned from a reporter that thought it was Katie that came to the house, yes.
And do you know around what time that was?
I believe it was like May or June when Luis Rivera got arrested around that time.
Okay. And once you learned...
Or I'm sorry, Luis...
You did learn some things from the media about this case. Was there something that stood out to you about how the hitmen said they were paid?
I did read the affidavit and everything, which said Lewis or somebody mentioned they were paid in staples, like bundles of cash with staples.
And why did that stand out to you?
Because I noticed that Charlie stapled his money, or he had money that was stapled.
Okay, so you have seen that in his residence before?
Right, after I read that, so... After I found out that the money was stapled.
After you found out the money was stapled, you saw the stapled money?
Oh no, sorry, let me think. I can't remember the exact moment, but I know when I saw the money, a red flag came up and I was like, after the fact that I saw it, I was thinking, oh, I think Lewis said he got paid in some stapled cash and I mentioned to Charlie that he should just put a paperclip in it. Instead, we talked about the staples, so.
Okay, but you had seen, before learning that the hitmen were paid in staple money, had you not seen staple money in Charlie Adelson's residence?
Before the hitmen were paid?
Yeah.
I didn't know Charlie back then when the hitmen
I'm
were
sorry.
Paid.
I'm sorry. Yes, before you learned that the hitmen were paid in staple money, which you learned from the media, you had seen staple money in Charlie Adelson's residence.
It was after, because when I saw it, I was thinking to myself, you know, that's strange, the staples, and then it clicked. So it was after I saw
after you saw the article or the TV broadcast, you then observed it.
After I found out.
And that's when it clicked.
Yes.
Okay. And the stapled money that you saw was $100 bills stapled into $1,000 bundles. Is that right?
Yes.
And there was quite a few of them that you saw, right?
Right.
During the time between, I guess, the few weeks before that article was published, so between what we now know was the bump and when all of this came to light, did you notice Charlie beginning to communicate more with Catherine Magvanua?
I believe I saw like a message from her, or they were on the phone once or something like that. I asked him about it.
Okay, did you previously in your law enforcement interview indicate that you saw him going back and forth with Katie on the calls like, and I said, oh, why do you guys talk so much? You remember that?
I do. So I was referring to the episode where it shows him and Katie going back and forth on the calls. And then I told Charlie and said, like, you never talk to me like that. So I was wondering why he talked so much to her.
Isn't it true that you noticed him talking to her at odd hours prior to the media broadcast?
No, that was all in regards to the episode that I saw, that they showed him talking to her at odd hours.
You don't remember telling law enforcement that it was weird because he didn't wake up early, and you saw that there were on the phone the times that they were talking, and it was like 7 or 8, and you thought, oh, that's odd.
No, I did say that, but that was in the episode. I told Charlie that I thought it was odd because we don't talk that way, and he said we live together, so.
Okay. Have you described him as being paranoid during this time frame?
Yes.
Okay. And did he talk to you during this time frame about believing his phone was being tapped?
Yes, a lot.
Had you ever met Catherine Magvanua?
I met her briefly. She worked at her front desk dermatologist's office that I went to. So before I knew Charlie, I met her there.
And was at the time that the law enforcement operation occurred, the time frame we're talking about, was Katie his most recent ex-girlfriend?
No.
Who was the most recent ex-girlfriend?
Before me, it was someone named Whitney Kick.
Okay, so she was in between you and Catherine Magvanua?
Yes.
Did you ever know of Catherine Magvanua working for Charlie Adelson or the Adelson Institute?
No.
All right, and then when you mentioned you were still with him at the time that Magvanua was arrested, did his erratic behaviors get better or worse at the time of her arrest?
It was worse.
Okay, and can you describe those behaviors for the jury?
Well, it was a lot mixed with what I said earlier, the no sleeping, depression, and our whole relationship just took a big turn, and I wasn't sure why. In the beginning, he was just acting strange and would go to his friend's house, and our routine kind of got disrupted, and I wasn't sure why. So it was just like I knew something was going on, but I didn't know exactly what the problem was. So,
did he become angry, short-fused?
At certain times, he would.
Okay, and I'm particularly talking about this time frame around Katie's arrest and just after that. Around the time, right after Katie's arrest, is that the time frame where these behaviors escalated?
Right, yes. Okay.
And did, particularly when the case or the investigation came up, is that something that would make him angry?
Not really angry. He had different emotions every time it would come up, so.
And was one of those emotions anger?
At some point, sometimes, yes.
And did you say he would get really red and screaming and take random walks, just acting like a crazy person?
He would at times, yes.
Did he get a second phone and maybe a third phone during that time?
I saw one more phone that he got and then it disappeared. So it was just a short period of time he had another phone.
At some point during this time frame, did Charlie Adelson begin communicating with you via WhatsApp?
He did actually when he went to Asia, because it's like, I guess you can talk to anyone in the country on WhatsApp, so he thought it was easier that we spoke there.
Was he only communicating with you via WhatsApp when he was in Asia, or did he do it when he
came back? We just developed the habit after he got back. We just spoke on there all the time.
Do you know if he was communicating with Magvanova via WhatsApp?
I don't know.
Did he start keeping a bag of clothes by his bed around this time?
I saw him keep a change of clothes one time or a few times, yes.
Did he sleep with a gun around this time?
He always has guns around because he has his license to carry. So he didn't physically sleep with a gun, but he has one in his nightstand and all over the place, so.
What about Wendy Adelson? Did you notice an issue between Charlie Adelson and Wendy Adelson during this time frame?
I wasn't too involved with them, but I did notice one time they got into an argument.
Right, and did he tell you it was a fight about this case?
He just said that it was something about the case, yes.
Okay, do you remember exactly when that was?
Not exactly. I don't know if I should guess or not.
But. No, please don't. Okay. So, what was there a time frame where Wendy and Charlie were not speaking because of some type of a disagreement about this case?
Yes.
What about Donna Adelson? Did her behavior change at all around this time frame that we're talking about?
So, I wasn't around her a lot, but when I did see her, yes, she was upset.
Okay. And did you describe her as a mess?
Yes, if it's there, yes.
What does a mess mean?
Just like mentally upset and physically drained or not their usual self.
All right. Was she crying when you saw her?
At a point in time, yes.
And did Charlie Adelson advise you that she was taking painkillers for stress during that time frame?
Yes.
And was there a time when you were on the balcony of Donna Adelson's residence and she made a statement to you about Dan Markell?
We were speaking about Dan because the case was such a big thing at that time, yes.
Okay, and what was the statement she made?
Well, her life was crumbling down in her family's life, so she said everything felt like Dan was haunting her from the grave or them, I don't know. Whatever it says there.
She feels like Dan's back from the grave, like haunting her or something.
In reference to that, yes. I don't, yeah.
No further questions.
Cross examination.
Thank you.
Where's your license?
Okay.
Judge, can I ask one more question?
Go ahead.
Did Charlie Adelson make a statement to you about Catherine Magdanoa's breast augmentation?
After the 2020 episode, he made a statement and joked about it, yes.
What did he say?
He was saying they were thinking that he paid for the whole thing, and then he said, like, he said he paid for one or something and laughed.
Only paid for one of the breasts. Half of the work.
Right, but he was laughing, so it was just a joke.
Okay.
Morning, ma'am.
Morning.
My name is Jackie Fulford, and I, along with Del Selman, we represent Donna Adelson. I've never met you before, correct?
No, never.
Okay. I just really have a few questions. There's been some discussion in your direct examination about what you might have told law enforcement during an initial interview, correct?
Correct.
And you were told that that was not being recorded, correct?
Yes.
And that whatever you said wasn't going to be used, right?
Yes.
And you gave a lengthy interview then that day?
Yes.
And at the time that you did that, you were broken up with Charlie, correct?
We were going through a horrible breakup at that time, yes.
Okay. You've previously said that Charlie's really good at persuading people. He lies and he makes it believable. You recall that?
I do.
I want to talk about the cash for a minute. He had a lot of cash, right?
From what I saw, I don't really know his bank account, but
I'm just talking about the cash that you saw.
Yes.
Okay. And you testified. There seems to be some confusion about whether you knew that before you saw it come out, that it was stapled, because I thought you previously had said that when you saw in the article that Luis Rivera referred to being paid in stapled cash, that a light went off in your head because you had previously seen Charlie had stapled cash, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And he had it stacked in $100 bills, in groups of 1,000. He put 10 together and he stapled them, right?
Right. I didn't see him staple them, but they were stapled already.
You saw that it was stapled,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes.
And he had a safe in his room that he kept money in.
He did.
And it was a very large safe, correct?
He had guns in there too, so it was large.
Yes. I think at one point you told law enforcement that it was about the size of a refrigerator, right?
Right.
So you did an initial interview, you've been deposed, you testified in Catherine McBanawa's trial and in Charlie's trial, right?
Right, this is my fourth trial.
Okay. So I have the transcripts from each of those. And you testified on direct that you didn't think the Adelsons, referring to all of them, you didn't think they were curious about who had killed Danny and what had happened. You recall telling law enforcement that?
Right, at that time it seemed that way.
Okay, and didn't you later say that you were really just speculating about that?
Yes.
When you testified in Katie McBanawa's second trial, referring to this statement about attributing to Donna that she said those words about Danny coming back from the grave and haunting her, in Katie's second trial, you actually kind of came off of that, didn't you?
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you say it again?
Yeah, sure.
When you talked about,
so you originally made that statement to law enforcement. You used those words.
Yes.
He came back from the grave haunting her, something to that effect.
Right.
Okay. But when you testified in Katie's trial, didn't you say that those weren't the exact words that she said? She was just very upset, and to you it came out like that. Didn't you testify to that? Let's see. It would be page 1196. It starts at line 3, the questioning, but the answer is lines 14 through 16. I don't know, if they were those exact words, I think she was just so, stressed out and upset that that's how it came out. That's what you testified to, correct?
If it says it there, I don't remember Katie's trial because it's been a while, but if it says it there, then that's what I said.
And you were testifying under oath then, correct? Every single time that you've given these, I'm sorry, you're under oath, correct?
I'm sorry?
Please answer out loud all questions, just don't nod your head.
Oh, okay.
Because the court reporter can't put down that you're nodding your head.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the answer was yes, you were under oath.
Yes, I think if it says that, then yes.
Well, you took an oath here today before you started testifying, correct?
Yes.
In the other trials, you did the same thing. You swore to tell the truth, right?
Right.
Can I have just one more moment here, Judge?
All right.
Nothing further.
Any redirect examination?
There you are.
You have the witness for Lewis?
Yes.
You may step down at this point.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
More continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson is coming up from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.